जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरि वरदारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी की श्री श्री गौनकाय की ओम अज्ञान तमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुवन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सह गण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पदितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस ऑनलाइन उत्कर्ष कैंप। वी हैव बीन हैविंग दिस काइंड ऑफ फेस्टिवल फॉर द यूथ इन श्रीधाम मायापुर नियर कलकत्ता विच इज द इंटरनेशनल हेडक्वार्टर्स ऑफ अवर सोसाइटी and we used to have 500-600 students every year coming there together. Although we miss you all in a personal gathering of everybody under one roof, still by Lord's grace we have the technology that is bringing us all together. Ultimately all the material elements are also supplied by the Lord, which are manipulated by the living beings to create facility like the computer or the camera or aeroplane or whatever it is. It is the Lord who gives everyone the brain. Even Einstein got his brain as a gift given by God. So we are able to avoid canceling this program, and we are able to have you all come here together. This is the first program today, Passport for Happiness. Very, very important workshop it is. Because in this world, we all are looking for only one thing. Anybody, any Tom, Dick and Harry, you ask them, what is one thing that you are looking for? People play to become happy. People study in a college like all of you are studying, so that you can earn a degree, so that you can fetch a good job, so that you can get money. So when you get money, then you can purchase happiness with money. In this way you will find everybody ultimately is looking for happiness. People marry to become happy. People want to go abroad to become happy. Everybody is looking for this one thing. So at the end of this session you will know what is that password for happiness. We will keep it confidential till the end. It will be revealed to you in these 3 days, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, isn't it? Three sessions, yeah. So, we are seeing this one? Yeah. So, here is a meaningful slide. In the modern days, people are trying to get happiness in various ways. They get entertainment, but they don't get peace of mind. They have comforts, like one can have Dunlop pillow bed, and a very comfortable bedding, but one may not get sleep even after eating sleeping pills. One may eat costly medicines but may not have good health. One may wear all types of cosmetics. Cosmetics don't make one beautiful. They just cover up the problems in the body. Similarly, one may have life support systems but they may not have the life itself. So, in this way, the thought, the very first thought presented here is, we all are looking for happiness. Please read this one. Why can't we experience continuous happiness at every moment? One of the incidents that I recently heard, it put me to a shock, at the same time amusement. You know why? We generally have a Ratha Yatra celebration in all our ISKCON temples across the globe. So there was one such Ratha Yatra program held in one of the ISKCON temples. And one devotee who is a newly arrived person in our society, he had come there, one devotee from abroad. He came to the temple for Ratha Yatra. He went to the temple. He was very hungry. So he went to the kitchen and asked, "Is there anything I can eat?" Somebody showed him butter halwa. So he just took a little bit of it and he ate it. I don't know whether you all have eaten butter halwa. It is delicious. It is. It melts like butter in your mouth. So he just took a palm full. It was so delicious. Then he took a plate and practically he heaped a lot of butter halwa because no one was around. There was a big vessel full of that. So he took and sat and ate all of it. Again, one more plate he took. So this way he ate and ate and ate, 12 plates. And then he was flat completely, on the ground. And one devotee who saw him lying so flat with a big belly, he saw that he is not even breathing properly. So they became worried. They picked him up and took him to the hospital. It became little late at night. And the doctor asked him, "Do you really want him alive?" They told the doctor, "If you don't want him alive, then why did we bring him to you? If you know he is dead, we would have taken him to graveyard. We want him alive. Please tell us what happened to him. Why is he so badly unconscious?" The doctor said, "This fellow has eaten something to such a full belly. It's up to his, throat. There is not even a place to put a tablet inside. So there is only one way I can save his life. I have to cut open his belly and take out everything." So the doctor said it will be pretty costly. So they spent the money. But when he cut open his belly, he understood 2.5 kilos of halwa he had eaten. Can you imagine? So much halwa. So then later on, of course, he came back to consciousness and everything. But why did I tell you? Why do you think this fellow ate so much? Because people actually eat to become happy. People play to become happy. For everything you want, ultimately happiness. But just like this person, he ate to become happy. Did he really become happy? He was almost gasping for breath and gasping for life. So, people chase after happiness, but somehow or other, happiness always seems to escape from them. Whether it be eating, whether it be sex life, whether it be accomplishing the people's goals, you will see that. Therefore, here, that is the very first topic we want to understand. Why can't we experience continuous happiness? Why is our happiness punctuated by suffering, time to time? Like you find in this world, when there is sukham, there is dukkha. There is man, there is apaman. There is din, there is rat. There is shita, there is ushna. There is lab, there is alab. There is jai, there is parajai. Isn't it? Victory, defeat. So, if I ask any of you, okay, you all agree that we all are looking for happiness. How much happiness you want? You want this much? You want this much? If I ask you, what would be your answer? Think about it. Actually, you want unlimited happiness. Similarly, if I ask you, how much suffering you want in your life? This much? This much? This much? You will say zero. So, this is in Sanskrit, this is called as Atyantika Sukha Pravritti. We want unlimited happiness and Atyantika Dukkha Nivritti, which means we want zero suffering. That means we want to put a full stop to suffering and we want unlimited happiness. But actually in this world you see, when we are struggling for happiness, we inevitably encounter suffering also. So, let me ask you a question. Of course, I can't hear you say the answer, but you can say in your own, to yourself you can say, who is the doctor for the teeth? You all can say. Dentist, yeah. Who is the doctor for the brain? Neurologist. Who is the doctor for the skin? Dermatologist. Who is the doctor for the eyes? Ophthalmologist. Who is the doctor for the heart? cardiologist. Who is the doctor for the bones? Orthopedician. Who is the doctor for the kidney? There's a kidney specialist. Who is the doctor for the nose and throat? ENT specialist. So now I can ask you like this. So one time I had given a quiz to boys asking who is the doctor for different parts of the body. They just went to Google search and put all the doctors' names and they brought it very quickly within 10 minutes. So you know there is a doctor for every part of the body. From which I learned one lesson. What is it? That means every part of the body can give problem. Therefore there is a doctor. Otherwise why there is a doctor for every part of the body? Because those doctors have done specialization and they are waiting. As soon as somebody's any part of the body gives problem, they come immediately. That's how their business is going on, isn't it? So, we all are looking for happiness in every part of the body, but we get actually pain. Again, the same question, why can't we enjoy happiness continuously without these pains coming in the form of old age or disease or death? Or accidents, or suicides. Like you all know, recently one very famous actor committed suicide. So this is not a new thing for us. It happened this year. But just in the previous year, I think probably 2019, or 2020, I'm not sure. You know, there was a very famous Bollywood actress, Sridevi. She went to Gulf. And the news came the first day that she died. But the next day the news came, she didn't die, she committed suicide in the bathroom. She buried her, she put herself in a water tub, by submerging herself in water, she left the body. So then many question marks came, why? She is a very famous actress, she had such a beautiful body, very popular actress in the older movies as well as the Bollywood movies also. Such a very famous lady. Having thousands and lakhs of fans, having got many Oscar awards in the movies, what made her, go for such a suicide? That means she was not happy. If she was happy, then why would she go for it? Similarly, the recent actor passing away, by suicide, youngster, very brilliant man. I heard that he was in the top ranks in the business, most wanted fellow. He was very popular amongst youth. But you find such a thing happened. Why? Because, see, a happy man will never want to leave the body like this. That means the happiness has been escaping from the people's lives. It is very easy to put a facade of happiness on the face and in heart of hearts feeling emptiness and loneliness and unhappiness, which is actually the common scene in the modern world. Modern man, actually, it's called as a cardboard face and a plastic smile, we call it. So, if one is a salesman, he may put up a show externally, speak good and shake hands and sell his product. But we don't want that type of superficial make show of happiness. We actually want to experience genuine happiness. It is actually called nishreyas in Sanskrit. And external accomplishment and achievements is called abhyudai. So, I asked a group of boys once, which one do you want? You want abhyudai, worldly accomplishments where you can be popular, you can be a hero, and the whole world will give a standing ovation for you, applaud for you, you can be a TED talker, and you can be a gold medalist, or you want to have internal fulfillment. So most of them said, please don't ask either this or that, we want both. But out of the two, if I ask you, you have to choose only one. Most people will choose external accomplishment. Because they don't know what is internal fulfillment. So, you will get internal fulfillment also through this training programs. You are here in Utkarsh Camp because you have attended the previous sessions of Discover Yourself, Sankalp Festival, Sphurti Festival. You have gone through many topics. And they have been very logically presented to you, systematically presented to you. And you are able to take that knowledge and look at the world around you. And therefore, when you see the world around you, you can see that this is a reality. Lord Krishna is presenting in the Gita. So therefore, we are now making an effort to understand this very important term, happiness, in this session. with activity sheets and everything, you will be able to understand where is man going wrong in becoming happy, and what is to be done to become truly happy at every moment. It is not that you have to tolerate happiness, unhappiness, happiness, unhappiness. No, one can be continuously happy without the punctuations of suffering in your life. Let us see. Please go ahead. Read it.
Why can't we experience continuous happiness?
You can hold it like this.
Why can't we experience continuous happiness at every moment? One thing that we all are looking for in life is happiness. We go to school to get a degree, get a job, earn money, and buy happiness with that. We marry to become happy. We play to become happy. We eat to become happy. We don't do anything unless we can get some happiness out of it. Still, if we observe our lives carefully, our happiness is thwarted at every moment by some impediment that supplies us suffering instead of happiness. This may put us to shock and pain. Most people try to work around sufferings, still desperately looking for and hoping for happiness. Different people respond differently when sufferings come in life. Some people ask, who said I am suffering?
Yeah, this is one category of people. Like when I was studying in my college days, when the exam results would come, you know, those boys who fail in the exam would go right next to the college to a liquor shop. They would buy some liquor bottles and drink. And sometimes if they get good mark in a subject where they were thinking they may fail, again they will go to drink. They need some excuse to drink, that's all. So, one of my friends in my class, he had drunk very bad. So, when I was coming out of the college, I saw him. He was over drunk and he was lying near the gutter. Half of his body was inside the gutter. And water was passing past him. You know, it was such a nasty gutter. I don't know how he fell in that. His leg was inside, half body was inside, half body was outside. He was screaming, catching his liver, because he was feeling severe liver pain due to drinking too much liquor. So all our students were going in bike, zoom, 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 coming out of the college and going. People saw that maybe this fellow was drunk too much and they went away. I felt actually I should help him. So I went and gave my hand, picked up his hand and pulled him out. And I threw fresh water to clean the gutter. Like that he was screaming. So then I asked him, why did you drink so much? And why are you suffering like this? I asked him. And he looked at me and said, who said I am suffering? He was telling again. So why do you think he was saying like that? You know, honestly, you ask yourself, was he really suffering? Or he was not suffering? He was suffering, but why he claimed I am not suffering? That's because it was hurting his ego. People actually want to show off that they are not suffering, even though they are suffering. So he had drunk heavily and he was suffering terribly, because it leads to diseases like liver cirrhosis and all complications. While drinking, people don't realize, but after drinking, they suffer. Like in the train, once I was traveling, I saw a man, whatever comes in the train, he will buy. The samosa came, he ate samosa. Pakoda came, he ate pakoda. Bhaji came, he ate bhaji. You know, bhel came, he ate bhel. Thumbs up came, he put thumbs up. Pepsi came, he took Pepsi. Anything that comes, he would take. Vada pav, he took vada. So he was taking every half an hour, just pumping in. The night when it became almost 9:30, 10 o'clock, he started feeling severe stomach pain because of sitting in one place and overloading the belly. Imagine every half an hour you keep eating this much. He was screaming like anything in the night. Because all the pakoda and other things started creating trouble. They are all made of recycled oil, just for sale purpose. It's not made by your mother. Mostly vendors, they just put anything and make and bring. So, while consuming, people enjoy, but subsequently they suffer terribly. And when you tell them that you are suffering, they will not accept. They will deny. Who said I am suffering? It's due to ego. Everybody wants to show that they are happy externally. But actually, Sometimes people, even husband and wife, may have a big quarrel at home, but externally when they go out, you know, they may appear to be smiling and very happy. There may be demons at home and angels in the party. When they go to the party, they will behave like angel as if they have too much love for each other. They will make a show. But at home, they may be demoniac. You know, speaking sharp words at each other and yelling at each other, beating each other. So therefore, people who deny that there is suffering, they are simply cheating. Because we all know ourselves. All of you ask yourself. You have a personal experience. I had gone to one college for a one-time program. I asked the students, is there anybody here? You are all 18 to 20 year old boys. You never got any time sick in your life. You raise your hand. You never even got a headache or a fever or stomachache, nothing. You always remained healthy from your birth up to today. Not a single hand up. But that means everybody gets sick. Everybody gets suffering sometime or other. If you think back, you know, different type of sufferings we have endured at different times. So therefore, nobody can deny that we are suffering. It's a fact we are suffering. Then, read it.
Others say, we have to learn to live with this menace. What to do?
This is another category of people who say, why are you saying always there should be happiness? Will life not be boring if all the time happiness, happiness, happiness? There should be a mixture of kabhi sukh, kabhi gum. Kabhi sukh, kabhi dukh. Donon chahiye. Both, let both be there in life. Then only we'll be happy. This is one argument people make. But if you carefully think about it in your life, actually you really speaking, you don't want unhappiness. Say in your first year, say you got 7 points, 7 grade. You are not happy. Your parents also feel that you should improve. So the second year you got 8. Third year you got 9 grade. So now you are, every year one grade is increasing. In the fourth year, you have a possibility of getting a 10 grade also. 10 out of 10. You know. Will you expect a 10 or a 9.5? Or you will say that, you know, I'm going from 7 to 8, 8 to 9. I'm going on becoming too happy, happy, happy. Happiness is boring. Let me again go back to 7 or 6. Will you ever think like that? Will any student think like that? So, you know very well that a person, even if he comes to 10 grade, he will want to remain in 10 grade forever. He will never want to come down, you will see. So we all want happiness forever. It's not that you need a mixture of happiness and happiness. For example, if I give you sweet rice, you say, only sweet rice, why don't you put some sand particles and give me? So the little suffering also should be there. No? Sweet rice, I bite the sand, I feel little suffering, then a little sweet both. You know, let anybody ask for it. You want a sweet rice without any sand. You want sweet rice without any stone particles. So if you think about life very carefully, people say we need to learn to live with both things. No, you actually don't want it. For instance, if you take example of an Indian gas owner, you know, he has newly started a business. First year he made 1 lakh rupees, second year 2 lakh, third year 3 lakh. He's increasing his profits. So any businessman you go and ask, sir, fourth year, how much are you expecting? He may say, I am expecting 4 or 5 lakhs profit this year. He is never going to say, I am bored with profits. I want maybe some let fire accident take place in my shop. You know, I will lose some 3-4 lakhs and I will have only 1 lakh this year. Why to get happiness all the time? Nobody will say. Therefore, honestly touch your heart and say, are you looking for happiness always or not? It's a fact. Therefore, authentic sukha pravritti. We all want unlimited happiness every day, every moment, all day. That's what we are looking for, truly speaking. Yeah?
Some argue, how can life be truly happy if it is not mixed with some sorrow also? Let's learn to love sorrow.
This is another famous thing. Learn to love difficulty. Learn to love sorrow. This kind of thing people... Actually, you all know the story of the fox who was jumping to get the grapes. He couldn't get the grapes, isn't it? So after his inability to get the grapes, what he said? And all the other foxes laughed. Hey, you couldn't catch it. You couldn't reach it. The fox said, no, it's a sour grapes. I decided not to eat it. Useless grapes, like that. He cursed the grapes. Actually, grapes was not sour. He couldn't reach it. Similarly, people would like to be happy always, but they find that inevitably, problems come. Like, for example, after youth comes the old age. In old age, diseases come. Is anybody wanting them? Any of you want to become old? Any of you want to get diseases? When disease comes, old age comes, if somebody says, no, I have accepted it as a fact of life, that's another thing. But we don't want it. We would like to remain youthful forever, always. See, if you ask a kid who is 8 years old, you ask him, how old are you? You say, I am 10, he will say. And his mom will say, no, my son is only 8 years old. He's saying he is 10. Because he wants to say that I am not a kid anymore. I am also grown up. Similarly, you ask a boy, who is 30 now, how old are you? He'll say, I'm 26. Or I'm 27, he will say. He doesn't like to say, I am 30 plus. Because that means you want to be in youth, but you don't want to grow beyond youth. You want to be hale, healthy, brisk, cheerful, dynamic, and always be like a Superman. Like you see in the movie, sometimes Superman stands at a railway line and a big train is coming. And he stops the train. You have seen that now, fastly moving train, he stands and stops it. This is only possible in a movie, isn't it? But in real life, in fact, even in a movie, one Superman, he got a fracture. In one scene when he was acting. Once Amitabh got coolie, I think, on movie. They hit him in the belly or something. Yeah. So sometimes you may act as a Superman sometimes. In a movie also you can get hurt. That's how our body is. You don't want old age, you don't want disease, you don't want death, you don't want suffering. But it is there. So the knowledge that you will get in these classes will bring you to a point where you don't have to have a mixed happiness and suffering in your life. You can have only happiness. And that too, going on and on forever, you will get. Sometimes people think sadhus are people who have rejected the pleasures of this world. Poor fellows. They have given up everything and they are wearing this dress and, living in a matha. How they can be happy? But little do people know. Sadhus, they are called connoisseurs of pleasure. Connoisseur of pleasure. You know what's a connoisseur of pleasure? Connoisseur of art means for a very good painting, he will even spend $5,000 to purchase it. Connoisseur of food means he will even go 100 kilometers to eat in a continental hotel. Where there is a particular item very delicious, they make puran poli or something. Very special, a person will go there to eat it. So, connoisseur of food will spend any money for food. Connoisseur of art will spend any money for art. Similarly, connoisseur of pleasure means he will not accept chota mota pleasure. He will only accept a ocean of pleasure. So, a yogi is one, I will just show you a small PPT. We are all talking about search for happiness. Okay, I have to share it, no? Yeah, sharing, yeah. Okay. So, see, there are different levels of happiness. Physical, mental, intellectual, and spiritual. See, for example, you take a crackjack biscuit or a cup of coffee or a cake or a cocoa chocolate. It's very delicious at the moment. But how long that happiness lasts with you? It may last for a few minutes only. A gulab jamun when you put in the mouth, delicious. But then it goes for 3-4 minutes, it goes down the throat. Then that sweetness doesn't remain forever. It's a short-term physical pleasure. Same with sex life also. Man, woman, mad attraction, infatuation. But when they unite, after the release of the semen orgasm, after that there is no more new thrill. One gets tired after that, there is no more big attraction. It was like a passion. And in that passion, they are dashing to each other. After that, it is finished. In a few moments only, that's all. Here is mental. Mental lasts for a little longer. Maybe 1 or 2 months, 3 months. Like you do a painting, or you play a piano, some very nice tune. or you play violin, huh? Or this boy, I think, is reading a love letter, I think. Somebody has written to him. Huh? So he will remember, oh, she wrote that to me, I wrote that to her, and few months it goes on, you know, illusory thrills, increasing perils, we say, in teenage. So music, arts, poetry, sports, all these things give you some thrill, mental thrill. In the mind, we have emotions. So these all lead to emotional type of satisfaction. It lasts for maybe a few months. But then after 3 months, you get bored with the song. You want to sing another new song now. Intellectual thing lasts for a longer time. Like you see, imagine you checkmated somebody. How do you feel? You feel, oh, I checkmated so and so. Imagine you gradually checkmate several people and then you become a champion of the whole nation. So you naturally, you will feel a great thrill and you may be champion, say, for a decade. Because you will find, in my college days, the most famous cricketer was Sunil Gavaskar. And now Sunil Gavaskar has become very old now. He has a cap, I think. He becomes umpire sometimes. Yeah. Arbitrator. Commentator. He becomes a commentator. He is. Yeah. So now after that, I used to see Kapil Dev. He was for some time. Kapil was for a while. Now over the years, what happened? They all go to background. Isn't it? They were in the forefront. They go to background. Then Sachin came in the front. Now Sachin also, when he gets older, then he will go background. You will find like that. Similarly, the intellectual pressure means you did something extraordinary, intellectually. You have the thrill. It lasts for a few years. After that, doesn't last. Like Mike Tyson used to punch people. And he punched and punched and punched, and every game he was a winner. Nowhere he lost. And hundreds of punches he did for big, big people and defeated everybody. People said that he is number one in the whole world. And then he said, you know, I can never be defeated. But that was only a statement, because after some years, he also gets old, isn't it? Eventually everybody gets old. Then the vigor with which you punched before will not remain with you. We get inability when you get older. So in the same manner with our intellect also, we may do something wonderful for a while and then we eventually get older. I mean, eventually that, you know, somebody else may beat us, because there are people better than us. There are people inferior to us in this world. If you did something very intellectually great now, somebody does something better than you and they become more popular, isn't it? That's the world we live in. So then we are unhappy. The happiness doesn't remain. Then there is egoistic pressure also. Let us imagine you are the first one to place the flag in Mount Everest. Who placed it, by the way? Hillary, I think. Tanzan? So he was the first one to place the flag in Mount Everest. Imagine if, or you are the first one, who is the scientist in Pune who invented the Param computer, supercomputer? Vijay Bhatkar. His name is Bhatkar, Vijay Bhatkar, yeah. So Vijay Bhatkar, he invented the Param computer, supercomputer, in Pune. So he is the first one to do it. Now can somebody else take that place? To be the first one to do it? No. That means its egoistic pressure will come. I am the first one to invent this computer. Nobody else could do it. My intelligence surpassed everybody else. So one can get ego. But that ego can last only for one lifetime. At the end of lifetime, you die, leave the body. And then you go to the next body, you will not even remember that you were a scientist before. Like Radhesham Das say, when I leave this body, can I carry my IIT degree with me? Next life as a baby, I'm coming with my previous life IIT degree. Isn't it? It's like that only. You can't carry it. So the egoistic pressure at the most can last for one lifetime. But the spiritual pleasure can last beyond the death also. It goes with the soul. Because soul doesn't die. Spiritual pleasure also doesn't die. Ramante yogino anante satyananda chidatmani iti rama pade naso param brahma vidiyate. This verse says, ramante yoginaha anante. The yogis enjoy unlimited spiritual pleasure by becoming Krishna conscious. Their senses are controlled. Their mind is completely purified and free from fickleness. The senses are free from all impurity by engaging in Krishna consciousness. And their intelligence is very stout and strong by studying the scriptures. They have the viveka buddhi. they have the vichara shakti, they have dharana shakti, they have tejas, they have ojas, they are jitendriya, they are controlled in their senses. So because of this, the sages, by practicing bhakti yoga, millions of times even more bliss is experienced by those who are spiritual practitioners. And the beauty of that happiness is, it will come with you even after death. It will go with the soul. So that is our path. You can become completely happy. That is spiritual. So that begins by praying, yoga, reading scripture and chanting Hare Krishna. That's where you begin the spiritual path, which you all are already practicing now. You are in the right path. And if you continue it patiently, lifelong, you will experience the utmost happiness. See, people find happiness in various activities. By playing badminton, by drinking liquor, by going for rave parties. Yeah, daredevil acts like adventure. Sometimes a boy takes a bike, he wants to show off to girls how fast I can drive. And then he goes very fast. All girls are saying, wow, what a speed. He's like James Bond. But then he goes under a lorry and he's in hospital for 3 months. Isn't it? So people get happiness in so-called different ways. Crazy fashions. People actually want to do crazy things to make the women laugh. So they look more... They think they look more cute by being crazy like this. In IIT when I was studying, some boys will wear kundal in 1 year. Only 1 year. This year nothing. Only 1 year. Big kundal. All kinds of hairstyles. Also some people keep hair like this. You have seen that? Yeah, only in the middle. Like the, all kinds of fashions. Crazy fashions. Cheerleading our idols. And people also put tattoos. All kinds of things people do. So, yeah, but although everybody is trying for happiness, these are, the problem when I am saying, I am not saying there are problem for Indians. This is actually common to all living beings all over the world. Not only humans, even to dogs, even to cats, even to trees, to all living beings. And nobody wants these sufferings. But everybody is trying to avoid them, but you can't avoid. See, the definition of misery is, misery means you get what you don't want. And you don't get what you want. That is the definition of misery. Do you want old age? You don't want. But you become old eventually. Do you want diseases? You don't want. But you get it. Do you want examination tension? You don't want. Still you get it. You want all the campus interviews to go away without offering you a job? No. But sometimes it happens with some people. So many things we don't want in life, we don't get. I mean, we get. But we want certain things, but we don't get them. No? So therefore, birth, death, only this remains, skeleton, disease, old age. Yeah. But spiritual, see the material happiness, initially you fail and then gradually it goes down. But spiritual happiness, initially you may have to do some, tapasya, tapo divyam, chanting Hare Krishna, saying no to meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. So you may feel little pain in the beginning, but if you tolerate it, you get exponentially high happiness, which goes forever. See, spiritual happiness is like poison in the beginning. It's painful a little bit, but you all have come up to Utkarsh camp, which goes to show that you have paid the price in spiritual life. Because some boys have dropped out in Discovery Yourself course in midway only. Some boys survived. They came to Sankalp Festival. Some boys dropped after Sankalp Festival. And some came up to, Sphurti. And then now you all have come to Utkarsh. It's like a crescendo, the climax of all the camps for which you have come. Which is very wonderful. This itself deserves a great congratulations. Because I heard a little story I will share with you. There was one place where people were all lying, very hungry and very thirsty. One man came with a big basket full of fruits. He gave some people very freshly cut mangoes, ripe mangoes. For some people, he gave freshly cut papaya. For some people, he gave freshly cut very nice slices of pineapple. For some, he gave apples. Some gave mosambi, oranges. Everybody ate those fruits and said, "Can I have a little more of this?" Then he gave. Then he also gave them variety. After eating all of that, some people started getting up. "Wow, this is wonderful. Please tell us, where do you get? We want to eat more of it." He said, "If you really want more and more of this, come with me." So some of them followed. Some were lazy to follow. And then some of them followed as they proceeded with him. On the way, some people said, "Hey, how long we have to go? We are tired." Some people took a U-turn and went back. They didn't come. But some people had trust in him. They walked with him further. And on the way, it was a desert. So they were saying, "Oh, the sand is hot and the sun is hot at the top. How long we have to walk?" Then they saw an oasis, one small pond and some coconut trees. "Is this the place you were telling us you are going to take us?" He said, "This is not the place, don't go there." But some people ran there. They didn't listen to him. Similarly, in our life you will see, Guru comes in our life and gives us some, sweet experiences. Like many devotees, your mentors met you, they gave you prasad, they taught you chanting, they taught you clean habits. They took you to the temple and you took darshan of Krishna. And then you saw, here is another lifestyle which is so pure, so pristine, so decent, so different from the outside world. You all saw that. Now you got a taste now. But then if you want to attain this type of life for all time to come, happy life, here you find all the devotees offer namaskar to you, vancha kalpataru besha visayam. And then all the devotees respectfully call you as Prabhu. Then all the devotees deal with one another lovingly. They are eager to serve you. And everybody is interested in you. And they deal with you like a blood brother. Isn't it? So, if you want this type of life forever in the spiritual world, then you have to pay the price. So, we walk behind the Guru. Guru is leading us and we go behind. But some people, what they do? Midway, they get some pleasures. Somebody got your seat abroad in some university. They say, "Tata," and then they fly away. Now they think, "Now I am in America, now I will do this, I will do that." They forget about Krishna consciousness. They give up chanting. Or some boy becomes attracted to some apsara, some girl. He goes, heavenly planets. So he goes in that side, then he gives up chanting and everything. In this way, there are people who have given it up midway. But then those who followed this man, what happened to them? He took them ahead. And they tolerated the heat of the sun and everything. And then a cooling air touched their bodies and they asked, "What is this?" He said, "We have come very close to the destination." So he took them to one very big wall area. He opened the gate. He had the key for it. When they went in, it was an orchard with all types of fruits and very good living places, very good ponds and ducks and swans in those lakes. Very beautiful waterfalls and very nice cottages to live. And that is spiritual world. So actually Guru takes us back to spiritual world. But we need the patience to persist. So initially little difficulty we have to tolerate. Then nectar for all time to come. On the other hand, in material pressure, initially you feel little nectar. For example, you eat two gulab jamuns, very nice. You eat four, you eat six, you will say no thanks. When you eat 8, 10, 15, 20, then what happens? Then you will... your taste buds will become flat. Even the sweet becomes, objectionable after some time. You will see that. Of course, your stomach is not going to take beyond the limit. We have a limit in this world for that. So it becomes poison eventually. What is happiness now turns into poison. So now we will come back to this later, PPT. Now, may I read further and complete this? Yeah.
A creator of any commodity has the best knowledge about his product. Similarly, Lord Shri Krishna is accepted by all authoritative sources to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and as the source of everything, including material world. Who can give us better information about the world we are living in than him? He labels this world as Dukkhalayam, which means abode of miseries, just as we call Himalaya a board of snow. Sometimes we find a board, "Beware of dogs or trespassers will be persecuted." Anyone who ignores such warnings should be prepared to face dangerous consequences. Thus, one who is serious about life's goal should take note of the Lord's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. As it is said here, Himalaya means abode of snow. Pustakalaya means, abode of books. And Krishna calls his world as Dukkalaya, where I give you misery and you give me misery. We all give suffering to each other, he says. Really? Why do people give suffering to each other? Because the world is created in such a way that you do the right activities, then your happiness is increased. You do the wrong activities, then the suffering is increased. The nature is programmed in that way. Like, for example, I saw a billboard where a young, beautiful looking boy was eating tobacco. Handsome boy. The next board they showed the same boy, but with full of ulcers in his mouth. Below that they wrote a statement, "Jing Kshanachi Vata Maranachi." Jing Kshanachi means for momentary pleasure, Vata Maranachi. It paves the road to death. Correct, no? Yeah, he ate tobacco and his whole mouth is finished. Rotten now. Similarly, somebody is smoking a cigarette. Like in TV they show sometimes a boy, young boy smoking cigarette. And then they put a slogan also, "Cigarette smoking is injurious to health, statuary warning." And this boy, after that warning is put, he says, "Who cares?" Like that he smokes very stylishly. Who cares? You will see eventually in the lungs getting jarred. They'll get charred completely like a charcoal. And then he gets lung cancer. Isn't it? In fact, in America earlier, they used to put in cigarette packet. Now they put in each cigarette they put. You know, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. At least they think that if he doesn't look at the packet, at least he will see the cigarette. Still, people don't pay heed to the warnings. And then they eventually become cancer patients. Plenty. And similarly, you find if somebody is drinking, they get liver cirrhosis. Somebody is mixing freely with women, different women, eventually they will get some 25 different type of sexually transmitted diseases. So, therefore you will see those who walk the wrong path have to suffer, they can't escape. Not only they have to suffer with the body, they have to go to doctor and pay a heavy bill. Not only that, for doing blunders, they have to actually be punished by the police many times. Like if a boy is trying to have illicit sex with another man's wife, he'll be beaten up by the people and caught by the police and put behind the bars. And in the same manner, if a boy is doing drug peddling, he'll be caught by the police also. That means by doing this nonsensical activities, he suffers also, pays a heavy bill to doctor also, sometimes caught by the police and put behind the bars. At the time of death, he is caught by Yamakinkaras, Yamadutas also, to be beaten up in hell. That means, walking the sinful path is not a profitable business. It's a very, very big business of loss. On the contrary, say you are doing yogasanas every day, even 70-year-old man, yogasana doing man, looks like a young boy. You will see, he looks like a 20 or 25-year-old boy. You will see that. Because he's doing yogasanas, which is mentioned in Patanjali Yoga Sutra. Similarly, if somebody is doing pranayam, he remains very healthy. If somebody is doing chanting Hare Krishna, his mind becomes very calm, cool and collected. Somebody is going to temple regularly, taking darshan, and his complete behavior becomes positive. So you will see that those people who walk the good path get good. Those who walk the bad path get bad. So therefore, we are teaching the youth to walk the right path so that they don't have to come to this world which is called Dukkhalayam. This Dukkhalayam is only for those who wanted to turn their face away from God, away from Krishna. Janasya Krishnat Vimukasya Daivat Adharmashilasya Sudukkitasya Anugraha yeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya. Bhagavatam says this. Janasya krishnat vimukasya. When you turn your face away from Krishna, one becomes adharmashilasya. When we are adharmashil, then one becomes sudukkitasya. So our dukkha, the main cause of our suffering is irreligion. And irreligion is caused because of turning our back to Krishna. Turning our face away from Krishna. So, in case you are still not convinced there is suffering in this world, you think that, Prabhuji, why are you always saying there is suffering? I think there is only happiness everywhere. So let us do an activity now. It's called the hurry and worry from womb to tomb activity.
Announcement to all the students. Please go to the third page of your booklet and enter your details. If you continue ahead, you will be directed to the quiz.
Hare Krishna. So you all got to do this activity, which we call as hurry and worry, from womb to tomb. So this activity shows you, at any cross section of our life, we have some kind of problem. See, I come from a village from South India, where we have a beautiful river, we have a goshala, we used to have hundreds of bulls and bullock carts. We used to go to the farm also. Life was a very happy life. In those days, up to 5 or 6 years of age, nobody goes to school. So, when I was also a young boy, up to 5 or 6, I was at home, always playing with mother and father and friends, having great fun time. But when I crossed 5, one day my mother bathed me, dressed me, and she was putting up a new type of dress, some blue color pant and white color shirt, along with socks and shoes and everything. I asked her, what is this new veshbhush today? She said, today is very special, she said. And then she picked me up, and then she took me to a bus, school bus. And then a conductor opened the door. He was a cocky dress man, with a big mustache. My mother handed me over to that fellow. He put me inside and closed the door. And I was shocked, what is this? And I saw through the window, my mother was smiling and saying tata to me. I cried loudly, I punched on this fellow's chest. He said, hey, shut up, keep quiet. He was telling me, I was afraid, you look like a police. So I was screaming, crying a lot in the bus. Then I went to the school, all day I was remembering the mother. When I came back in the evening, mother was there at the bus stop to receive me. I was so happy. I came back and told her all the day's events and everything. On that day, my thought was, in my entire life, I have to go to school only one day in my life. That's all. And I have successfully completed. I thought like that. But next day, again, my mother put up the same dress. I asked, hey, again, are you going to give me to that man? She said, no, who told that? You are not giving. I'm just dressing you. Just like that. Then she picked me up and walked to the bus stop. Then I started crying and jumping. I said, no, you are going to put me in the bus. She said, no, we are going to purchase some things in the shop. I'm just taking you. Come with me. So, she tricked me to go to the stop. And sure enough, the bus came. The same fellow, cocky fellow. She handed me over. So, the child never wants to be separated from the mother. But the child is forcibly separated by the nature in this world. That is a pain for the child. For any of you, it must have been like that, isn't it? Similarly, when you go to 8th, 9th, 10th and all, parents are very worried nowadays about your career, your future. Every mother, father want you to get first rank. How can every boy get first rank? I don't know. In a class. But every mother, you ask what rank you want for a child, everybody wants first rank. And especially when you come close to 10th or 12th, they expect you to go and join engineering or medical, which is not very easy to get entry into. Because engineering, medicine and chartered accountancy are considered the crest jewel professions nowadays across the globe now. So, naturally there is a cutthroat competition for that. So, you will find boys are keeping, like Hyderabad I have seen boys studying from 7th standard for IIT entrance. 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Parents are giving them tea and coffee and keeping them awake. Mother is telling, beta, don't leave, somehow you have to get into IIT. They get tension. When I went to South India, one parent met me, mother and father. They told me, my son looks like, you know, a psychiatric patient. He has got some problem. Can you please privately talk to him? Then I called the boy to the next room and I talked to him. What is the problem? He said, Prabhuji, I have no problem. My mother is the problem. He was telling, because she is behind me. She somehow wants to see me get into IIT, but I am not competent to crack the JEE exam. I told her, mother, I will go to BCom, MCom, I'll write some competition test and then get into a bank. She didn't let me. She somehow brought me to science. Now she is behind me, trying to make me engineer. So, you will find the tension is not only for the son, but also for the parents. Tension for the parent, tension for the son. Then I have shown you different type of tensions you face at different age. If any of you got all the answers right, that means you have thoroughly understood it, this table. See, they are seeing it now, this one. Yeah, as you see the pictures, different pictures, boy in 10th standard, engineering student, full-going child. Yeah, marriageable age, nice picture they put for everything. Okay, we will do one more activity, which is called 7 stages of life. I'll give you a little introduction. Actually, 7 stages means your babyhood, then your childhood, then boyhood, then your youth, then you are married, and then you are old man. And like this, there are different stages. In each stage, you do something. And what it is given in the table. They have this thing, activity there. Let them do it also. Let them do this. Yeah. Tell them to do the next.
I request all the students to kindly begin the next exercise.
I will show you that. So, when a newborn child, if you see the sixth one, the child spills. What he spills? He spills stool and urine in the bed only. And mother has to change the diaper. Then when he becomes a school-going child, then he drills. 2, 1, sar, 2, 2, 2, sar, 4. Like that, he drills. And then when he comes to teenage, he has thrills. Teenage thrills. And it's a dream world. In teenage, a boy is attracted to girl, they are attracted to video games, they are attracted to movies, attracted to sports and everything. Thrill. And then, after that, then they get married, then they get bills. There are bills for the house rent, you know, bill to be paid for purchasing a car, bill to be paid for the supermarket. Lot of bills come. And as the bills keep coming after marriage, then what happens? Gradually, one starts getting old age and one gets ills, diseases. Because after seeing too many bills, you get disease. you get ills in old age. And then after that, then one becomes bedridden in old age. Then one writes the wills. Will means you write the will for this thing. I mean, giving away our property to children or something. So in this way, beginning with spills and drills and thrills and bills and pills and bills. These are the 7 stages of life, we call it. So now let me take your questions for today. Only we have 10 minutes left now. And after answering your questions, then I will continue the session tomorrow. And tomorrow timing, they know it. Some questions, Ram. Yeah. So we have Akshad Daman Prabhu from BIITP. How to prioritize life aspects, yeah. For that you need to know time management. We all have 24 hours only. And how to utilize that. So, if you in YouTube, if you go to live.radheshyamdas.com, Live, L-I-V-E, live.radheshamdas.com. Go there, click it. When you go inside, there is behavioral science for youth. There is one box, behavioral science for youth. You click it. In that, you look for time management 1, time management 2. If you go through these two things, you will get answers. How to prioritize your life. And Suraj Racha, from IIT Bombay, is asking, if you are working in corporate in front of the screen, doing company work, how to think of Krishna? Good question. So we can think, like even Arjuna also, while fighting the battlefield, he has to be always looking here and there very attentively, how will he think of Krishna? But therefore, we need to learn about the art of work. How do we do the work? I had spoken about it also. As a part, in the same box, you will get behavioral science for youth. You will get about, you know, the work also. But I can say a few words. The karma yogi means, before beginning the work, you should offer a prayer to the Lord. Like Hanuman, before jumping to Lanka, he offered prayer to Vayu, his father, Surya Dev, his guru, and Lord Ram, Lord of his life. So offer a prayer. After you complete the work, don't take the credit. You offer a prayer to Lord. Oh Lord, you gave me the brain. Oh Lord, you gave me the eyes, ears, you know, mouth and hands, everything. So I offer the fruits to you. Because you gave me everything. Like I am only a gardener. You gave me the seed, you gave me the rains, you gave the ground. So that when the flowers come, I should give the flowers to you. You are the Swami Malik. I am yours. So in this way, in the beginning of the work and the end of the work, the beginning, pray for empowerment. At the end, offer the results. These two are very easy. And while doing the work, if somebody asks you, who are you? You should say, I am Krishna Das. What do you do? I do God's work. How do you do it? With sincerity, dedication, commitment, and seriousness. And then what do you do with the fruits? I hand it over to God. So these four questions you should know. If you are aware of this, then you can do the work. Understanding that this is a God-given work, because you, if you are going to be married, you need to maintain a family, so you are doing the work. Sakyatana Shabha pays it. Prabhuji wanted to know how the law of karma works. Does it, hey, it's going out of the screen, how to bring it? Yeah, this one? Okay, it comes then, top it comes, okay. I wanted to know how the law of karma works. Does it take place immediately or does it affect after lifetime? See, there is instant karma. If somebody slaps a person, immediately gets a slap. Or sometimes you eat something heavy at night, next day morning you suffer. Or you don't study for the exam now, at the end of the semester you suffer. Or you are earning very good money in IT job but you don't save, then you suffer after retirement with no money. Like that. Similarly, some karmas you do in this life, before the results come, your death comes in between. So therefore, the results are kept with the soul to go to the next body. Yeah. Next question. Yeah. Ishwar Shalke Prabhu is asking, how to deal with the people who try to hurt us? For this, you can hear your prayer in a lecture. Hey, how do they get tit for tat, tolerate that? Where is it? On YouTube, if you put tit for tat or tolerate, immediately you will get it. It was a prerana lecture. There I am talking about this. How do we deal with people who insult us or hurt us? That is about 45 minutes, 1 hour lecture. You will get a very good reply to that. The examples and stories, okay? Ujjal Kumar was asking next. After what time I can achieve eternal happiness if I practice Krishna consciousness? Actually, in this life, if you keep practicing, within 2-3 years, you will see a big difference in your life. And then, depending on your sincerity, you will enter timelessness even while living in this body. It's not that after death only you will become eternally happy. There are devotees who have been very faithfully practicing, and even in this life, they experience that immortal happiness. At least you should get training for 3 to 5 years, I can say, by which you know properly about what is life all about, then you experience a great joy. SLV Omkar was asking, how to manage spirituality and material life simultaneously? Yeah. So, Krishna says that, Mamanasmari, the Chalagarailway line. You have your academics and you have your spirituality. Both are like two railway lines. Academics is for your body and spirituality is for your soul. You balance both. It's quite possible. If you stay with devotees, it's very easy. You can manage both. And also devotees will teach you how to keep a chart for your study chart and how to keep a sadhana chart for the spiritual life. So both charts you fill up, you ask your mentor, they will guide you. Shivam Prabhu is asking, how to control our mind if this is going to bad things? Yeah. Three things you have to do. Keep away from tempting environments. And then that itself will save you from so many dangers like pornography, internet. So keep away from them. Secondly, don't keep the mind empty. Engage it completely. Idle man's mind is the devil's workshop, it is said. If you keep yourself busy in harmless recreation as well as spiritual activities, then your mind is occupied. It will not be able to run to other things. And also cultivate good habits. Ego principle. Good in, good out. Take out time to learn good things like learn mridangam, learn kartal, learn cooking, learn to distribute Prabhupada's books. Talk about what you are hearing in Krishna consciousness to your new friends and bring them. So spend your time very constructively. Also now you are in lockdown in home and attending college classes. Study your textbooks nicely. Get like one boy was 52% in the first year. When he came to our student center, you know, he got 72%. And he was shocked. He never realized that he had such a potential. So in this way, now you do things in a very balanced way, spiritual material. You will see, you will succeed very nicely. Okay, Pishpa is asking. Do devotees of Krishna also suffer? Are they eternally happy in this material world? Okay. Actually, even if devotees sometimes on and off may get suffering, that suffering is minimized by Krishna, like a fan. If you switch off the fan, it doesn't stop immediately, but gradually slows down. Similarly, suffering of a devotee gradually is reduced by Krishna. He only gives token punishment. Say, if a devotee is supposed to die in an accident, he may only get a fracture in the leg. Because Krishna knows devotees have come to the right path, why should they be punished? Om Prabhu is asking, Prabhu, in our college life, even if we don't want to have association of students who are doing intoxication, so they will influence us or have some effect on us. And see, in every class I have seen, at least 10-20% of the boys are pious, good boys. What I would do in any college if I go, first I will find out who are the pious boys, very simple-hearted, devotional-minded. In my engineering college days, on either side I had two good boys. Both are bodyguards on both sides. And they will always talk with them. One boy would always tell Vishnu Sahasranam and tell the meaning of the words. This other boy was such a good boy in studies. So you flank yourself with good boys around you. That's the safest way. Varun Prabhu is asking, how to avoid distractions to increase our bhakti, like TV and social media? Actually, in the same place, Radhishyam does devotional videos. If you go inside, you will find Bharat Maharaj. What is that? Bharat Maharaj only. Live.radhishyamdas.com. Live.radhishyamdas.com. In that, if you go Bharat Maharaj, if you click it, I think second session is on distraction. How to move from distraction to concentration. About Bharat Maharaj's life, from there we have explained many techniques. You can go through that, Varun Prabhu. Chanting itself will help you to reduce distraction if you make an effort to concentrate. Vikas is asking, Prabhu, even after realizing that in this world we will suffer, but our minds takes us to that place the most. So how to overcome the situation? That is due to past bad habits. See, our life is conditioned. Just like a puppy dog you have been training, always it will come and sit on the lap. The doctor tells you, dog has got parasites in the body, don't touch it, keep away. You go home and tell the dog, don't come, is it going to leave you? Again and again it will come and sit on the lap, old habit. If you show a stick several times, then it will not come. Similarly, bad habits will take some time to go. They won't go suddenly. You have to be patient. Rishik is asking, how to maintain good relationships with friends? One of the first things you can do is to not be a self-appointed advisor and giving them feedback. So you can remember one simple formula. Myopsis, Thor. You can remember. Myopsis is what? Mind your own business. Myob. And sis is save yourself. All of you repeat. Mind your own business. Save yourself. It's called myopsis. And Thor means then help others reform. So remember this formula. People, if you mind your own business and save yourself and then help others only later, then people will like you. And also give compliments to your friends, appreciate them. Don't be judgmental. Be respectful. Be kind, courteous. Follow the sattva-guna behavior. Then that will actually win many friends for you. That type of behavior. And Jayant, now we have exceeded the time now. I have to keep the questions for tomorrow. Oh, plenty of questions. Oh, my Lord. Lot of questions. Okay, where did I stop last? 15th one. 15th, yeah. 15th. So, the questions are extending up to 69. So, what you can do, these questions can be with me. I will see. When I'm giving the next session, some of them I will answer them as a part of my session tomorrow. Okay? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada ki.